have a home missionary. I don't know. They're really, are they even called home missionaries anymore? Multicultural missionaries. Yeah, I should know that. Amen. Brother Laksamana is of Philippine heritage, and he is going to be ministering to the North American Filipinos. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right here in the United States of America. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like Brother Harvey did when he came to our church and ministered at Mashantucket, and he went to the different reservations right here near our church and ministered. He's going to be doing that in Filipino communities, in churches around our country. I've asked him tonight to come and to just share his vision, his testimony, say something good about Jesus. Amen. And I had to also say that he doesn't have to convince us to take him on as a partner. He's not trying to convince us to be a partner in his missions. What he's going to do tonight is help us to know how to pray for him. Amen. We are going to partner with him. In fact, I believe our church trustees that oversee the finances of our church could testify that the more this church gives, the more God gives for us to give. Amen. Amen. Just like an individual's household, when you trust God and give to the Lord, then God blesses your household that you can give. Amen. When a church gives and blesses a missionary, then God blesses that church to bless more missionaries. Amen. I believe it's absolutely, in fact, we have proven it here in our local assembly. God, you cannot outgive God. Praise the Lord. So this basket, if you are able to bless the missionary with something, this basket will be at the end, and we're going to take them on as a partner in missions, and we'll give them a good offering, and we'll call this the bonus basket. Amen. We'll give them a little extra from what comes in that basket. Praise the Lord. So as the Lord bless you, would you welcome our missionary? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sir. Can we do it one more time? Let's clap our hands to the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. First off, I'd like to say we're so honored, excited to be here tonight. Thanks for the invitation, Pastor. This really is an exciting thing. And for Sister Greeley, the family, the whole family, Brother Dykes, all the leadership team and everyone, amen. Thank you all for having us. Amen. We are... all we wanted in our heart is to be a blessing to all. And the message that God put in my heart will be a blessing to everyone, especially for the church and for the community. Amen. Amen. So, like your pastor said, we are missionaries. It's kind of reverse program of being a missionary that we all know. As missionaries, we send out, a minister overseas. And they reach out to different nations, different nationalities, and so they learn the language and, all this stuff. That's the kind of missionary that we know. But this is a missionary program that's kind of different. It's reverse. Well, we all know all nations, all languages and cultures came to North America, right? Right. So if you want to see different nationality, different culture, it's in the neighborhood. Because America is a melting pot. It's where all cultures blend together. And so even North America is needing missionaries. And so here we are coming from the Philippines, and we answer the call. There's about 6 million Filipinos in the U.S. and Canada, North America. About 5 million in the U.S. and 1 million in Canada. And so It's a big community, and I believe here in New London, where the U.S. Naval Base is, the Navy guys already was telling us earlier they've been to the Philippines, and you know, and so even the subdivision of my friends who came with us tonight. By the way, this is the Duyan family. Their siblings. They live in Groton. It's in the neighborhood within 10 minutes, and they're happy to be to join us tonight. Amen. Praise God. I'm bragging to them about this church, and you know, it's in the neighborhood. It's very close, and amen. You know, it'll be great if they will, you know, they will get to be a part of this church, and you know, they will keep coming. And even way back from the Philippines, this family grew up in the same apostolic doctrine. Amen. We all believe in the same one God. You know, they're apostolic, and so maybe some of them they've been here before, right? But so. In their subdivision, like I was mentioning earlier, I think the majority are Filipinos there. They have, you know, everywhere you go, it's a small subdivision of, you know, probably about 30 houses, something. But, you know, there's probably 15 houses are Filipinos, 50% maybe. And it's like a Filipino community there, you know, when you enter that subdivision. So, yeah, it's a great thing. That's our mission, the Filipino community in North America. And with that, we answer the call. There's no one else doing this. We have, like Brother Harvey, Steve Harvey was doing this here for the Native Americans. Other ministries, you know, different ethnic groups, even deaf ministry. I believe Brother Brown's doing that for the deaf ministry. That's still under the multicultural ministry. But for the Filipino community, we don't have a missionary. There's not much Filipino works in the whole United States. For that 5 million Filipinos, as a matter of fact, even in Ontario district in Canada alone, just one district, they have 38 Filipino ministers. Yeah, just one district. So there's a lot in Canada, but over in the United States in particular, there's not many. New York alone, you will see that in the video that I'm going to show. There's about 170,000 Filipinos. There's not a single Filipino minister. New Jersey, there's a small group. They're just starting for a few years. My friend, Pastor Dante, a Filipino, but he's the only one there. So there's a lot of big cities. There's no Filipino apostolic ministry or ministers. And so thank you for this church. Thank you so much for partnering with us. We can't wait to get started on the field. Right now we're on deputation. We're raising funds. And as soon as we finish our deputation, we reach a certain amount of our budget that we need so we can get started on the field and start church planning and helping churches to establish a daughter work. And, you know, eventually become an autonomous work. That's the goal. You know, more church plants, as many church plants as possible that we can help many local churches throughout the United States. We're hoping this church would, you know, would welcome us to come back. As you know, our funding for this, you know, coming to the local church and helping them establish a Filipino work, is funded by 100% from our PIM. So we're not a liability, a financial liability to a local church. It's merely, you know, we're coming, helping establish something, and then after 6 months we turn over, we move to a different location. God bless you, sister. Move to a different location, duplicate the process, and so we would like to plant as many church Filipino ministries as possible. Thanks for helping us. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a 3-minute video. I hope, you know, we have time for this. And then I promise I will preach the word of God. Amen. Let's watch the video. God bless you.
As the Spirit of the Lord came upon me.
Pumating Espiritu ng Panginoon sa akin.
And I saw a ball of fire.
At nakita kong apoy, pulang apoy.
That burst over the Philippine Islands.
Na ito ay sumakop at ito ay bumagsak sa Pilipinas.
And I saw tongues and flames that reached all the way around the world and touched many nations.
At nakita kong hiwahuray ng mga apoy na kumanak sa buong
mundo. And I saw God using the Philippine people.
At nakita ko na gagamitin ng Diyos ang Pilipino ng mga tao. Upang tumarin
the prophecy of Joel.
Ang propesya ng Ahoy
shall come to pass, saith the Lord.
At mangyari sa ating araw.
I will pour out my spirit.
At ang Panginoon po sa ating
all nations.
To be called the North American Church has given so selflessly to send the gospel around the world. Before the rapture, he said, I will bring the overseas revival to North America. What we are feeling, what we are hearing, what is touching us right now is the fulfillment of that prophecy. God is bringing to North America a global revival just before the sounding of the trumpet and the rapture takes place. Clap your hands for a global
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, so I can say this is what we do is the fulfillment of that prophecy, that vision by the legendary our icon, brother T.F. Tenney, the late T.F. Tenney. Last year, actually, in the United Pentecostal Church Philippines, they just launched the Foreign Missions Division. Because of so many Filipinos doing Filipino works globally, and so they had to organize. They had to do something, set it up to organize the work. The Philippines alone surpassed the UPCI for sending out missionaries globally. It's not UPC Philippines only, but I mean the whole Philippines. It became a missionary hub. And so the UPC Philippines had to do something to catch up with, what's happening. And so, what we're doing just in line with what is being set up, by the Philippines. Now the UPCI, they called us back. We actually moved back to the Philippines 2019 to 2024 for 5 years. We did some church planting there and they called us back because they needed church planters and missionaries. So, we answered the call. Amen. And so we're here because the prophecy is getting fulfilled. Amen. It's happening. It's happening in North America. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Petoskey, I was in a meeting. We were in a meeting with him earlier today. And he took the application to request for us to come back to Connecticut to help him, his local church, establish, daughter work for the Filipino ministries. And I said, we can do two in Connecticut simultaneously, maybe, right? Amen. And, now that we have a group here, wow, amen. Praise the Lord. We can just help the group grow and reach out to the Filipino community and establish a good Filipino ministry in New London. How's that? Amen. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. It's exciting. It's exciting. When we moved back to the Philippines, I thought we settled there. That was our decision to live there for good. After living in the States for almost 3 decades, we've been helping, to start a church plant in the U.S., Texas, Nevada, and then we started, a couple in Washington State. We decided to move back to the Philippines. We thought, we want to be a part of the revival that's going on there and just plant churches everywhere. And we did. And over a period of 1 year, we established 5 church plants simultaneously growing. The following year, the second year, we came back here just to promote a church building project because that 5 church plants needed a training facility, a building to where we can develop and train more leaders. I was here promoting and preaching around, traveling, and the multicultural ministries, the MCM, they reached out and said, "We've been waiting for you." And so they called us back. Remember, we sold everything in Seattle and moved to the Philippines. We shipped everything. Sister Charing, Sister Faye, 25 boxes of jumbo balikbayan boxes we shipped to the Philippines. So we settled. We're excited. We bought a house, bought a truck, and we're busy church planting. And here we come. It's a new season, a new chapter. I tell you, it's when they showed us the number, that's what got us. We told them we're settled in the Philippines, we're happy, we're seeing a revival, it's exciting. But when they showed us the number, they asked us to pray about it. The 6 million Filipinos. There's no one doing what we're doing right now. And we prayed. Amen. So the rest is, now we came back with 2 suitcases of clothes. That's all we got back. We're like new immigrants again. But it's nothing better than being in the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I always say it's all about God's will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Nothing else. It's miserable outside the will of God. You do not want to be outside the will of God. You do not want to put the matters in your own hand and decide for your own future. You've got to be in the will of God. You've got to be in the will of God. Amen? It's miserable. It's miserable outside the will of God. And so we're happy. Amen. Answering the call. And I promise I'll preach the word in the book of Luke chapter 2. Let's open our Bibles. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2 verse 49. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Why did you seek me? Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your purpose to be revealed and to be accomplished. We pray, God, that you capture our hearts, our thoughts, and that you speak to us, O God, and accomplish what you want to accomplish in our midst, Lord, for these people, your children, your church, O God, and to the community. Help us, O God, Lord, we submit to you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said amen. Amen. Clap your hands to Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I would like to preach to you in a few minutes with this title, Our Father's Business. Our Father's Business. I come to preach to you today about our Father's business. Amen. Before you sit down, shake hands with your neighbor and say, I'm glad to be a part of our Father's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I must be about our Father's business. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing quite like family business. It carries legacy. It carries identity. It carries purpose. Amen. It continues with the lineage, you know, with the family, the name, the trade. Amen. We heard about and we've seen and we see them. We know there's what? Johnson & Johnson. There's Keller & Keller Law Firm. Who knows? You know, maybe the Greeley's Enterprise, you know. Right? It sounds great. Amen. It's about family business. But today or tonight, everybody say tonight. Tonight we're not talking about a corner shop. We're not talking about a family enterprise. We're talking about our Father's business. Our Father's business. This is the business of the Almighty. This is the business of our Father God. The work that transcends time. This is the business that outlasts kingdoms and transforms lives. I am glad to be in our Father's business tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52 is the context. That's the passage of the scripture that we read tonight. Amen. We know the story how Jesus, when he was a little boy, about 12 years old, him and his family, they went to Jerusalem for a feast. Feast of Weeks, they were there and they stayed. And after the feast, they started to travel back to Nazareth, where they came from. It's like a 32-hour walk. I looked it up. Said, wow, that's far. 32-hour walk. They had to spend time somewhere and sleep, you know. But if you walk straight from Jerusalem to Nazareth, it's about 32-hour walk. Amen. So I also checked it out. It's a 2.5 hours drive. It's a 12 hours bike. So it's far. 12 hours bike, you know, riding the bike. But imagine. They were on their way back to Nazareth, and they're almost there to their destination, and they noticed Jesus is missing. And so they looked around. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? We've been traveling for hours and hours. Where's that boy? You know how a little boy is, you know. You probably have a little boy. You can relate. And where's that boy? Oh, that boy again. Where did he go? And asking around, asking families, asking relatives and friends. Have you seen Jesus? No, we don't see him. He's not here. And, you know, sure enough, he's not with them in that group of people traveling back to Nazareth. And so, to make the story short, they hurried and rushed, you know, walked back to Jerusalem. It's almost 32 hours walk back. And so, wow, they look around in Jerusalem and they found him. Where did they find him? In the temple. And he was there in the temple and Mary was upset when they found him. You are just here. We've been looking for you 3 days. What's wrong with you? And Jesus was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Hallelujah. Praise God. So what was he doing for the past 3 days? He had spent his time in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, asking questions, listening to them with the people. Amen. Doing the works of the kingdom, the ministry, being with people. Amen. He was doing his Father's business. Amen. So, it's not something that, you know, like a normal 12-year-old boy who for 3 days, he's not concerned about being lost. He's not concerned about being left behind. Or he's not upset that his parents left him. No, he's been there in the temple. And he's not around playing ball with other with Jerusalem friends when he was growing up there, you know, or running around, or he was not seen running and catching up with them in their journey back to Nazareth. No, he was in the temple. Amen. At 12 years old, in that young age, he understood his divine assignment. He's not distracted by the crowd. He's not distracted by customs and culture. He's not distracted by even frightened by his parents looking for him. He was focused. He was focused on the things that are eternal in his Father's business. Amen. So I've come to preach to the Apostolic Lighthouse here tonight that there is no other business more than or more urgent, more rewarding, or more enduring than our Father's business. There's nothing more important, amen, that is more lasting, that is worth eternity than our Father's business. Everybody say amen. Would you clap your hands to Jesus Christ? Woo! Our Father's business. It's not about profit margins. It's not about trades. It's about soul business. Amen. The Father's business is about soul business. Hallelujah. It's not about building empires. It's about building the kingdom of God. So today, tonight, we ask ourselves, what is our focus? What is our agenda? What is our dream to accomplish in this life? Personal agenda, personal business, or our Father's business? Amen. Ask your neighbor about that and say, what is your business? John chapter 9, verse 4. With some references here in the Bible, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He was sent to do the work of the Father. And he said, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. There's urgency of the need for the work that Jesus came to do. He was sent by the Father to do such business. And there's urgency for the need to do that work. Amen. Luke 19:10, he said, I came. Jesus was talking. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. That's the Father's business. That's his agenda. That's his focus. That's his purpose. That's what he came for. Amen. And he came to accomplish that purpose. And he was focused on that purpose. There's urgency of the need. He must work while it is day. For the night cometh when the church is no more. When the gospel is no longer being preached. While it is day. Amen. That's the work of the Father. That's the Father's business to seek and to save the lost. And you are, the preachers preaching about soul winning. We know that. Evangelism, outreach, of course. We've heard that so many times. Well, you probably heard this so many times. Amen. But I tell you, this is our Father's business. We need to be reminded of his heartbeat. We need to be reminded of his passion. We need to be reminded of his desire, of his eternal purpose for all of us, for the salvation of our souls. Amen. For the salvation of our souls. Did you not know that everything that we do in the kingdom of God, it's all about souls? The soul business. It's all about soul business. Whether we reach out, invite people to invite them to come to church. That's soul business, right? And when we come to church, like tonight we're here. We've been saved for how many years, decades. But everything that we do in the kingdom of God, it's all about souls. For the nourishment, for the nurturing of our souls. Amen. So we stay saved. Amen. Hallelujah. We cannot stop coming because our soul will be detrimental to our soul. So everything that we, even cleaning the carpet, even cleaning the church, everything that we do, doing the media, doing the music and everything, it's all about souls. It's all about souls. It's all about the caring of the soul. But the most important thing is that our soul be saved. Yes. Amen. Amen. Our soul be saved. Why? Because our soul is worth more than the whole world combined. Our soul is the most valuable, priceless, precious commodity in God's economy. Our soul. I'll prove that to you. Mark 8:36 to 37, to where it says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul?" You can own everything in the world, all creation. You can own all the planets. You can own all the stars. You can own all the mansions. You can own all the cars. You can have all the monies in the bank. But then you lose your soul to hell. What is your profit? What is your gain? Nothing. Nothing. You can't even take a cent with you to eternity. You can't even take any material thing with you to eternity. So what is your profit? Even if you own everything, you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. Amen. Because your soul is worth more than the whole world combined. There's nothing worse more than the value of your soul. That's why the need of your soul is so precious, so important, that we need to stay safe. We need to make sure, you know, this soul will go to the place we want to go. Amen. When we made our choice to accept God as our Lord and Savior, we repented of our sins, we're baptized in Jesus' name, we received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking tongues, and so we keep coming to church. Amen. Because we want to stay in that journey. We want to stay in that path, in that direction, to where we're all waiting for the rapture. And when Jesus comes, we do not want to be left behind. Amen. Because even if you stayed in church for so long and then you quit, and Jesus came, and you're caught in the club in being drunk and on drugs and doing all the crazy things in the world, you just missed the boat. Amen. Hallelujah. I came preaching against that very dangerous doctrine, to where it says once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you become a child, you will always be a child of God. Once you are in the church, you will forever be in the church. No, as long as you stay in the church, I believe, yes, you'll be a part of the church. As long as you stay in the boat, yes, then you'll be part of the boat. The boat, the church, will be saved no matter what. The church will be raptured no matter what. Jesus is coming for the church, to take His church with Him to eternity. Unless we stay in the church, our soul is not going to make it. I'm sorry to say. Amen. The Bible says, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." Amen. We've got to stay in the boat. We've got to stay in the church. Otherwise, you grew up in church and then you stopped. That's the most miserable thing that can happen to a Christian. Jesus is coming soon. We can tell the signs everywhere. Jesus is coming soon. We do not want to miss Him coming back. We do not want to miss the boat. Amen. We want to stay faithful. We want to stay. We want to keep coming to church. Because our soul is the most important thing in the heart of God. That's when Jesus came and died for the soul. Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah.
The Father's business is the soul business. Amen. The most rewarding thing we can do in the kingdom of God, the most important thing we can do in the kingdom of God, as much as we have all the talents and gifts, I admire Brother Dyke. He's so talented and gifted in singing and playing instruments. And I believe preaching and teaching too. But I'm here to say, we can have all the gifts and talents in the kingdom of God if we haven't won a soul. If we're not winning soul. You know, if soul is not the top priority of our ministry, then God help us. Hallelujah. Because that's the most important thing. Yeah. And that's the primary purpose of Jesus coming to earth. To seek and to save the lost. Amen. For the salvation of our soul. Amen. He's a great preacher. Everybody want to be like Jesus. He's a great teacher. He performs miracles and wonders. Wow. He would raise the dead. He would heal all the sicknesses and diseases. And he would preach so great, so anointed, and would teach so deep. Everybody want to be like Jesus. But if you look at Jesus, his heartbeat, his mindset, amen. He can preach good and he can be a great teacher and performs great miracles and wonders. Not that so he can get attention to himself, but that so he can help others be saved. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is for the salvation of the souls of the people, his followers, his disciples. Amen. They can get so astonished in his ministry, but if they're not going to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. In Philippians 2, 5, a very popular scripture that we know we can quote from the heart. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? And so we always say, what's the mindset of Christ? We ask that question, I want to be like Jesus, but let us be in the same mindset. You know, the same likes of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, we know the rest of the passage of that scripture. Who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So make the story short, he left heaven, put on the robe of a servant, and came down to earth and served, helped people be saved. Died on the cross. For the salvation of you and me. Thinking of you and thinking of me. But can I tell you something else? Amen. It's not about just you and me. It's not about just you and me. Sometimes we come to church and we've been serving the Lord and doing everything to the king, in the kingdom of God. Well, we have this mindset. It's about me. It's about us. I need to be saved. I need to be nourished and nurtured by the Word of God and helping ourselves. That's a great thing. But it's not always about you. It's not always about me. Go back to verse 4. Philippians 2, 4. Before we focus on verse 5. Philippians 2, 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Look not every man. Do not think only of your own personal things or benefits, but also for the benefit of others. And then reading verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he came down to serve. But his mindset is about others. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. Amen. When we receive the power of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. That's the reason why we receive the power of God, the Holy Ghost. That's the reason, and I take it a little further, the reason why we're saved is so that we can help others be saved. Amen. Ain't that plain and simple? Hallelujah. We're not saved just to focus on our own salvation and wait for the rapture. No, Jesus is expecting us to win souls. Jesus is expecting us to reach out. Amen. And save. Reach out. Help your family. Help your friends. Those people that are not saved in your circle. In your world. Oh, I love coming to church. Oh, I love going to church. Oh, I love hearing the Word of God. Great! How about others? How about unsaved loved ones? How about friends that you talk to every day? Amen. We must be about our Father's business. The Father's business is not focused on our own. The Father's business is focused on souls. Souls. Amen. If you will have that same mindset, if everyone in the church will have that same mentality, the mindset of Christ, being mindful of others, that's the mindset of Christ. That's what it is. Being mindful of others. If everyone in the church have that same mindset, like tonight, these people, next week we come back, we're doubled. If only each one will reach one. If that stays in our mind, every day we pray, every day we talk to the Lord, as the Lord, lead me to someone hungry today. Lead me to someone searching for the truth today. Lead me to someone marching down towards hell today. Lead me to someone, oh God, that needs to be saved today. Amen. Every day you pray about that. Next time you come to church, you have someone with you. You have a soul with you. You have another one with you. Amen. But why is that not happening? Maybe because our focus, our mindset, our top priority is not on the Father's business. But I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Amen. Is to seek and to find the lost. To seek and to save the lost. Amen. You know, in Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter is the lost and found chapter of the Bible. Luke chapter 15, check it out. There are three missing in that chapter. Of course, Sunday school, you know this stuff. The missing sheep, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, the prodigal son. What kind of man who has 100 sheep and found out one is missing, would he not go and look until he found the lost sheep? And when he found the lost sheep, he will be rejoicing and so glad, put it on his shoulder and go back to the fold and call his neighbors and celebrate. And then Jesus said, after saying that parable, Jesus said in Luke 15:7, he said, likewise. Likewise, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one single soul that comes to God in repentance. Amen. That's how valuable even one single soul is to the kingdom, to God. One soul that comes to God repenting. You're throwing a party in heaven. There's celebration in heaven. Amen. One visitor that you bring to the kingdom. One visitor that you invited to come to church. And that visitor came to God, repenting of their sins. Amen. You're throwing a party in heaven. There's rejoicing in the kingdom of God. Wow. And then the lost coin. The woman lost the coin. The Bible said she was so persistent. She would not quit. She would not stop until she found the lost coin. And when she found the lost coin, she celebrated, called her neighbors, and they rejoiced, and they had a party because they found the coin that was missing. And she was so happy about it. And Jesus said again in verse 10, likewise. He repeated the same thing he said in verse 7. He said, after finding the lost coin, he said, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Yes! One soul! Try to imagine that one soul that you bring to the kingdom. Who? Hallelujah. Then there's the lost son, the prodigal son. The father was so patient, so persistent. He would not quit on his son. He knew his son's coming back. They keep feeding that calf. They know he knows his son's coming back. He knows there's going to be a celebration. He knows that there's going to be a party. And sure enough, in a very far distance, he knew that's his son coming, looking by the window. That's his son. And he ran as soon as he met his son, he embraced and kissed and put the ring and the robe, and there's party. Amen. There's always rejoicing. Amen. It's always rejoicing over one sinner that comes to God in repentance, whether it's a lost soul or a backslider coming back home. What's the message here? What's the message of the Lord in Luke chapter 15? All of those that were lost and were found, and their celebration. Amen. The father, the shepherd never quit. The father was so persistent, would not stop until he found the lost sheep. The woman was so persistent, would never give up and quit until she found the lost coin. The father was so persistent, patiently waiting every day. He never quit on his son. He knew he's coming back. Amen. Never give up on a soul. Never quit on winning soul. Do not stop reaching out for a soul. Amen. Reaching out and winning soul is the most important task. Amen. For us being Christians, being children of God. Amen. Don't give up on your unsaved loved ones. Never give up and quit on your unsaved friends. The people you talk to every day. Probably by this time, Jesus dropping some names in your heart. And you know it. Jesus wants you to reach out to them. Jesus wants you to invite them. Jesus wants you to win those souls. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
The thing is, we're not motivated enough. Right? Let me give you one more thing. In the book of John chapter 4, 32 to 34. Here, the disciples got hungry. And they came back with food that they bought. In is that 32? Start with 31. The disciples came to Jesus with food that they bought, and they said, "Master, come eat." Right? Jesus responded in verse 32. He said, "My meat. I have meat to eat that you not know of." In other words, he's saying, "My food is different than your food." And 33, they turned to each other and said, "Did anybody bring food just for Jesus different than the food that we have?" He said his food is different. That's what it says.
Right.
Yeah? They said one to another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat just for him different than what we have?" And Jesus responded in verse 34. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What is his work? What is the Father's business that he was sent to do? To seek and to save the lost. Amen. So at that point, when the disciples were craving for other things, Jesus is craving for souls. Tonight, I don't know if you came hungry or it's too late. You need dinner. You need to late for your dinner tonight, or I don't know what's in your mind. You're probably craving for spaghetti or fried chicken or salad, pasta. I'm making somebody hungry by now. But as we crave for those things, if you really want to be like Jesus, you may want to share with his craving. He's craving for souls. He's hungry for souls. What satisfies him is souls. What fills him, what fulfills him is souls. Amen. He came for souls. And so his mindset is about others, about souls. That's why he would die for souls. The Bible said in Matthew 5, somewhere, what verse is that? It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The blessing is for those who are hungry for doing righteous things. It's a righteous thing to win souls. It's the right thing to do the Father's business, do the kingdom of God. Right? But this is even better in Proverbs 26:16. I hope I'm right. Proverbs 26:16. Do we have that? Is that the right one? 26, is that 26:6? Oh, 16:26. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank God for a wife that helps. It says, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. In other translation, it says, he that is hungrier works harder. If you want the laborer to work hard, let him have appetite. Let him be hungry. And the hungrier the laborer, the harder he works. My question for you tonight is, are we hungry for souls? Or are we hungry enough to start reaching out and winning souls? Let's all stand together. Ayakayara labahakataya. Yokoyora labahakatayara labaha. Yondo yorolobo hoko yara labaha. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The urgency of the need of the hour. Souls hang in the balance and eternity awaits and Jesus is coming soon and souls are marching down towards hell. What are we going to do? Leonard Ravenhill in his book, he says, could a mariner sit idle if he heard the downing cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could the fireman sit idle, let man burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion with the world around you perished? How can we not be bothered when souls around us are marching towards hell? We know what hell looks like. We see someone in the accident dying, needing help, needing a rescue, and it's within our reach, and what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Oh, I'm saved. Thank God. But we're saved to help others be saved. Amen. I pray that the Lord will impart to you something tonight. And that impartation is about the spirit of hunger for the lost. The spirit of craving to win souls. 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 Amen. He wants to impart to this service tonight the spirit of a soul winner. Hope you come to the altar with different list of needs, prayer requests. And that would be, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. Would you come to the altar tonight? Lord, I want to win souls. Lord, more than anything in the kingdom, more than any gifts and talents, Lord, help me win souls. Before you came in the rapture, let me win souls so I can present them to you and when I meet you face to face. Oh God, I tell you, brother, sister, there's nothing wrong in praying. I want to be the greatest soul winner in this church. Yes, you can. You can be the greatest soul winner in this church. Well, you can win the most souls to be won. But you must be hungry. You must have that same passion. You must have that mindset of Christ. You must have that same craving. Are you hungry enough? And are you hungry enough? Or you don't know what hungry is like? In the name of Jesus, pray for those names God put in your heart. And God is going to use you to be instrumental to reach out and win those souls. Let's reach out to our community. Let's not stop. Let's not quit. Let's not give up in winning souls. Let's not stop reaching out. Because this is our Father's business. There is nothing more rewarding and more urgent than our Father's business. Come on, somebody pray. Lord, I want to be a great soul winner. I want to win many souls, Father God. Help me, Jesus. It's one thing to help my soul be saved and continue to be faithful in coming to church. It's a great thing for the salvation of my soul. It's far extra important if I also reach out to others and win souls. If I also invite our unsaved loved ones and family to church. Oh God, help me to win souls. God, help me place this burden inside, deep inside of my heart. Deep inside in my heart, the burden, Lord, that I will not be comfortable living a lifestyle, being a Christian, without winning souls, without reaching out, without inviting people to come to church. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want you to receive the impartation from the Lord tonight. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus, receive the spirit of a soul winner. Receive the spirit of a burden for souls. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yondo yara baha kayara la baha. Yondo yara la baha yara la bo. Yeah, yeah, yes, Lord. God, give me that burden. Lord, put it deep in my heart tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody pray for a burden. Somebody pray for that spirit. Somebody, you need to be anointed by God, the spirit of a soul winner. Let God anoint you with the spirit of a soul winner. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.